Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning, good morning, Fusion Church. 6 a.m. soap. How you feeling? Are you ready for this one? Are you guys staying cool in this crazy, crazy heat? I don't know about everyone else, but Vineland, we're in a water advisory right now. So we're having to, you know, watch what we're doing, when we're doing, how we're doing, using our water. So it's serious. So take all the precautions you guys need. We don't need anybody falling out, in the church, you know, whether you're at work or whatever you guys are doing. So please be safe. We're praying for everyone. This morning we are in Jeremiah 6, continuing on this journey of Jeremiah and the prophecies that, you know, he put forth to the kingdom of Judah over the course of 40 years. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get right into it. Father, thank you, Lord, once again. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to slow everything down and just get into your word, the word that you had for your people, the word that you have for us, Father, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that during this time that you would just reveal things to us, new truths, new things that you want to speak to your children, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we read about what Jeremiah spoke to the people of Judah, that we would hear what you are speaking to us today. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We praise you and we lift your name up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Jeremiah 6, and I am reading from the New King James Version. O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up the signal fire in Beth Hekeron, for disaster appears out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come to her. They shall pitch their tents against her all around. Each one shall pasture in his own place. Prepare war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe to us, for the day goes away, for the shadows of the evening are lengthening. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus has the Lord of hosts said. Cut down trees and build a mound against Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. She is full of oppression in her midst. As a fountain wells up with water, so she wells up with her wickedness. Violence and plundering are heard in her. Before me continually are grief and wounds. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus says the Lord of hosts. They shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel, as a grape gatherer put your hand back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days. And their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall amongst those who fall at the time I punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I have set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sounds of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish, thus says the Lord. Behold, the people comes from the north country, and a great nation will be raised from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses, as men of war set in array against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Pain as of a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field, nor walk by the way. Because of the sword of the enemy, fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll about in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the plunderer will suddenly come upon us. I have set you as an assayer and a fortress among my people, that you may know and test their way. They are all stubborn rebels, walking as slanderers. They are bronze and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. The smelter refines in vain, for the wicked are not drawn off. People will call them rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them. Amen. All right. So here in chapter 6, Jeremiah is continuing to deliver God's message of the impending judgment that was going to come to Jerusalem and Judah due to their persistent wickedness and refusal to repent. Now, this is the beginning, you know, of the entire book of Jeremiah. So at this point, the judgment of Babylon was still a ways off, but Jeremiah is trying to get the attention of the people. You know, he's trying to get them to listen, to turn from their wicked ways, right? What were their wicked ways? Idolatry is the biggest thing that they were doing, you know, because of the last couple of kings of Judah, where they just allowed wickedness to come. The last king of Judah was a king by the name of Zedekiah, you know, and before him, there was three kings that had very, very short reigns because they were so evil and what they did and what they allowed the people to do, you know. And so Jeremiah knows it's coming, impending danger, impending doom is coming, and he's trying to get a hold of them, right, and try to get them to understand and to turn from their wicked ways, because at this point there was still a chance for grace. There was still a chance that God would stop the Babylonians from coming if they would just turn to God, right? And for us today, we're in positions where we're hearing the word of God, right? We're hearing the sermons preached. We're hearing the worship. The Lord is speaking to us. We're getting up on 6 a.m. soap. We're listening on the podcast later on, and the Lord is speaking to us, but we're still refusing to hear. We're still trying to stick with our own ways and do our own thing. We're studying the word and we're going to church out of, I don't know, obligation, something we're supposed to be doing, but we're not truly hearing what God is speaking, right? And judgment is coming. Verse 1 says, oh, you children of Benjamin, as a reminder, as after Solomon, King Solomon, David's son, the nation of Israel split. The 10 tribes to the north of Jerusalem, they became their own nation of Israel, right? And then Judah was just the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And they were, those two tribes made up the kingdom of Judah, right? So it was a small kingdom, but a very, for the most part, they were a good kingdom, because the kingdom of Judah followed the line of David. Every one of the kings was within the line of David, which is probably why God gave Judah a little bit more grace, right? Because they were the sons of David, and through this line of kings is where the Messiah would eventually come. But he says here, "O you children of Benjamin, because of the place of the tribe of Benjamin within the southern kingdom, God sometimes referred to it as Benjamin." So if you're reading the scriptures, and especially during this time period, when it's referred to Benjamin, it's also referring to the entire kingdom of Judah. He says, "Gather yourselves to flee from the midst of Jerusalem." The idea was that an army would come to the capital. An army would come to Jerusalem, and those wise enough to see it, that they would flee from the city before they were surrounded and conquered. "I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman." Verse 2, Judah liked to think of themselves as beautiful and refined, right? Why? Because Judah was of the line of David. Judah had Jerusalem. Jerusalem had the temple. The temple was the presence of God. So they saw themselves. A lot of them, they kind of had big heads, right? You know, they thought, oh man, we're really God's chosen people. Way more so than our cousins to the north. So they saw themselves as beautiful, you know, yet even a lovely and delicate woman can't stand before an invading army. And they would be terribly mismatched. Judah's going to be terribly mismatched when Babylon comes. Verse 4, prepare war against her. The Hebrew verb for prepare may suggest the religious rituals preceding a battle in the ancient ways of war. Woe to us, for the day goes away, for the shadows of the evening are lengthening. God reminded Judah that time was running out. Time was running out for them. And even this judgment would still not come for many years, right? But it was still going to come. There was no doubt about it. It was going to come. Because soon the army of Babylon would come to Jerusalem and destroy her. Verse 5, arise and let us go by night. The coming invaders were so urgent that they would attack at night. Battles took place during the daytime, where they could see. But this invading army was going to be so urgent, so sure about what they were doing, they weren't going to wait just for daytime. As soon as they arrived, it was going down, and Judah had to get ready. Verse 6, for thus said, has the Lord of hosts said, cut down the trees and build a mound against Jerusalem. Jeremiah understood and explained that the coming siege against Jerusalem was God's work. Though they were a strange instruments of God's work, what they could not blame it just the Babylons, right? As if God had nothing to do with it. Because you know, God is saying, cut down the trees and build a mound against Jerusalem. This was a divine calling. Right, God was saying, you know what? That's it. Continue with your wickedness. Come on, Babylon. Do what you got to do. Because she is full of oppression in her midst. Jerusalem's lack of love for God was demonstrated by a lack of care and concern, even for their fellow man. Right? Jerusalem was a wicked city at this point. No matter how much, you know, Jeremiah and other prophets of that day, good prophets, because there were some bad prophets at the time. Excuse me, we're going to talk about that really, really briefly. They still were not listening, and they were still doing wickedness, right? And how do we know that? Because verse 7 says, she wells up with her wickedness, right? Jerusalem is Sin City, right? Jerusalem is like Vegas. Everything was going down. Right? There was always a fresh supply of wickedness and sin and evil rising up within Jerusalem. It was overwhelming her streets, right? So just think about the worst cities, in America today, right? That was Jerusalem back then, right? That was Jerusalem back in the 500-600s BC. Verse 8, he says, "Be instructed, O Jerusalem." Even the inside the announcement of judgment is the inherent invitation to receive the wisdom of God, right? He says, "Be instructed, O Jerusalem." God is saying, "You can still listen to me. You can still heed my words," right? God is still making a way, right? No matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances that you're finding yourself in, no matter what sin you're in the middle of, God is still saying, "Be instructed." In other words, listen, receive my wisdom, right? Avoid the coming catastrophe. It was an invitation that Judah would not receive. Is that an invitation that you are receiving today? The Lord is making a way for you, right? The Lord is bringing providence. The Lord is bringing wisdom, right? But are you listening? Are you hearing? Okay? Whether you're here this morning or you're listening, weeks from now to this message, the Lord is crying out to us, saying, "Look to me, follow me, heed my words," right? "I want to save you," but we're still not listening to it. We're still doing whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it, and whoever we want to do it with, right? And we think we're okay. Look at the world today. Look at the things that are okay today. Look at some of these churches that are allowing garbage to happen within the walls of the church, garbage to happen at the pulpit, right? And it's okay. It's okay. And the Lord is saying, "No, it is not okay. Heed my words. Listen to what I'm telling you. Judgment is coming. My brothers and sisters, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to allow it to happen?" Because there were people within Judah who were, even if they weren't participating in it, they were allowing it to happen. They weren't saying a word. They were keeping shut their mouth shut. Why? I don't want to offend nobody, right? And even us as the capital C church, we don't want to stand up for nothing. We don't want to call evil evil, right? Why? I don't want to offend nobody. I want people to like me. Right. Well, you know about my brothers and sisters, right? If you don't like me and you don't like what I got to say, but your heart gets changed and you follow Jesus, hey, you ain't got to like me, but you need to love the Lord. Amen. And that's who you need to worry about. That's who you need to be following. "They shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel." Verse 9. God warned Judah that they would be picked clean by the Babylonians, right? Even as those who would glean from the vine, right? In the ancient days, they would go through the fields, and they would pick all the crops. They would leave little bits for the poor people, right? And the poor, they would come behind and they would glean the extra, right? And that was actually a providence of God, and but it says no, the Babylonians, they were going to come through, they're going to completely pick clean, right? Everything. They were going to destroy everything. Verse 10, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" We sense the frustration of Jeremiah. He speaks, but no one is listening. Their ears are not spiritual. Something to be ashamed of and avoided. What was going on? "Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised." The Old Testament speaks many times of uncircumcised hearts, uncircumcised lips, but this is the only mention in the Old Testament of uncircumcised ear. Stephen, the Apostle Stephen, when right before he was stoned, and Stephen in the New Testament, he was the very first martyr of the Christian church, right? And if you read the story in the book of Acts, he's speaking boldly against the religious leaders, Right? And against the Jewish council that was coming against them. And in Acts 7, verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Okay? He may have been talking about the leaders way back here in Jeremiah's day, who they refused to hear. They refused to listen to the commandments of the Lord. They refused to listen what God, through the prophet Jeremiah, was trying to tell them. They have no delight in it, it says. Their low regard for the word of God was evident. The word of the Lord was of no delight to them. They took no pleasure in it. They found no sweetness in what God was telling. And this was an indication that the people of God, that they were ripe for judgment. Ripe for judgment. Listen, God is still speaking today. He is still speaking. I want to pound this table, but my baby girl's asleep. And if she wakes up, this whole thing is over for all of us, right? But I'm telling you, God wants to speak today, and he's speaking, right? But we're not listening. Even God's people, us, there are those of us with our hands over our ears, and we don't want to hear. We want to stick to what we're doing. We want to keep up with our wickedness. Right? Why? I got time. We lie to ourselves. There's still time for that. There's still time to get right with God. There's still time to do this. There's still time to do that. Right? The people of Judah were saying the same thing. We still got time. But we're going to learn here real soon that there was no time. Time ran out for them, and they are going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. Verse 12, "For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land." The judgment to come to Judah would impact everyone. It would affect the children, the young men, the old, the husband, the wife, right? Even the fields were going to feel the judgment that was to come. Everyone, verse 13, is given to covetousness. Everyone deals falsely. God looked at the culture of the kingdom of Judah and saw how thoroughly greedy and corrupt it was. Even the prophet and priest, it says, were part of the greed and corruption. "They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly." God not only condemned the more obvious sins of covetousness and corruption, but also the subtle sins of the prophets who used smooth words to comfort and calm the people when they should have been they should be alarmed and provoked to repentance. Right? It says, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. These were the smooth words of false prophets that Jeremiah is talking about, assuring Judah that everything was fine, when in fact everything was not fine. This is a wonderful message to bring, right? That everything is good. And it's a message that most people want to hear. We want to go to church and just hear the good things, right? We want to go to church and have an emotional experience. We want to go to church and we want to hear the word of God. We want to hear the man of God talking, and we want to feel good afterwards, right? But the problem is, sometimes that isn't true. Not everything is good. Sometimes we are called to repentance. Sometimes we go to church. Okay, let me say, okay, let me. Any of y'all ever been to church, right? And you sitting in, you know, in your chair, your nice comfy chair that y'all have at EHT, right? The extremely not comfortable chairs that we still have Cumberland County, but only for a short amount of time, because we about to have some nice, real comfortable chairs. And Pastor Brandon, Pastor Danielle, or whoever's speaking up there, and you just feel like you're just being punched in the chest, right? Right? You're being convicted of something. It's almost as if they're speaking directly to you, right? And it's not because anyone has told them any of your junk. It's that the Holy Spirit is giving them divine inspiration. And they don't even know they're speaking to you. They're just speaking, right? And the Holy Spirit is convicting, right? The people of Judah didn't want a message like that. They wanted the false prophets to tell them everything is good. We good. Everything is kosher, right? Everything is great. Sometimes there's war and conflict that we must deal with whether we would like to or not. There are times when God's word to his people is not peace. God doesn't always speak about peace. Sometimes he speaks about repentance. Sometimes he's saying, prepare for judgment. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful of the leaders you're following. Be careful of the pastors and preachers that you're listening to, that all they ever talk about is everything is great. You know, praise the Lord, everything is fine. Meanwhile, you got a dumpster fire going all around you, right? And you're just like, oh, everything is great. Everything is great. Everything is great. And it's not great. Jeremiah was the prophet that was saying, things are not great. Things are not good. Turn from your wicked ways. But there were other false prophets. Just like there's other false prophets, other false teachers, false pastors, false churches that are speaking a false doctrine, a false gospel, and they're leading people astray. Hearts are not truly being changed towards God. Hearts are truly not being changed, you know, and following the direction of the Holy Spirit, right? There are pastors and preachers and that all they want is a platform. They want people to see them and follow them. You know, they want to be influencers, right? And they're not going to speak the truth. They're not going to tell you what you need to hear. They want to make sure you feel real good. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now. All right. It's about to get real, Doug. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want a feel good message, right? If you want a pastor that's just going to make you just feel good and tell you all the things you want to hear, I'm the wrong one. And this church is the wrong one. Right. Right. This is the way it is. Right. Now I'm going to tell you right now, some of the pastors, you know, they may be a little bit more diplomatic with how they speak to you. Right. You know, that's not Pastor Jason. Right. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be blunt. Right. But bottom line is at this church, you're going to get truth, truth with grace, but you're going to get truth. Right. And whether you like it or not, that's not up to me. That's not up to Pastor Brendan. Right. That's between you and God. But you're going to hear truth, because I'm going to tell you right now, on our watch, we're going to do everything we can to bring as many souls with us when we go up to glory. Amen. You know, we're not looking for Facebook likes or Instagram reel shares, whatever it is. You know, we're not looking for that. We're looking for people to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah was trying to get people to turn from their wickedness and look to God. Looked, follow the Lord. Because again, at this point, there was still a chance. There was still a chance for Judah to be saved, right? We serve a powerful God, right? And if the people of Judah had just turned from their wicked ways, you know, God, like that, Babylon's gone. No threat. But the people refused to listen. Can you imagine being Jeremiah for 40 years, preaching this message of repentance, preaching this message that judgment and damnation were coming? Turn from your wicked ways, and the people still refused. Verse 16, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is. Even though they were in such a bad place, there was wisdom available for Judah. And one place that they would find wisdom was in the old paths, looking to their history and their forefathers to learn from what God has done in and through them before. We forget so often where God has brought us from. We forget so often how many times God has saved us, how many times God has delivered us, how many times God has brought blessings to us, right? How many times we've been in the middle of a mess and divine salvation comes from somewhere. Times when you didn't know how that bill was going to get paid. You didn't know if those lights were going to get turned off tomorrow. And all of a sudden, a check just comes in the mail randomly. Somebody comes to you and says, "The Lord spoke to me and said, I need to bless you." Right? That's the old ways. But then we get caught up in what's happening right now, and we forget all of that. Right? We forget how God has blessed us. We forget how God has saved us. We forget how God has reconciled us to our spouse, to our family. But we forget all that stuff. Jeremiah says, "Ask for the old paths where the good way is. Look to the things that happened in the past," right? The word says we triumph by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sometimes our testimony isn't just for other people. Sometimes our testimony is for us, for us to follow and remember what God has done. Right? He says, "Then you will find rest for your souls." This is the rich reward for seeking and walking in the old paths. This was a reward that can't be matched by anything. Jesus quoted this in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 29, where he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus wants us to have rest for our souls. He doesn't want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to be concerned about anything. He wants us to have rest for our souls. Follow him today. He says in verse 20, "Your burnt offerings are not acceptable." The people of God continued bringing offerings, excuse me, and sacrifices to God. Oh my goodness. Yet, when it talks about offerings and sacrifices, that's like the religious ceremonies. They were still doing what they were, quote, supposed to do. They were just, you know, acting out the way they were instructed to do, but there was no heart into it. And because they did not heed God's word or accept his law, the sacrifices were not acceptable. Religious ceremony could not cover their basic rejection of God's word. Religious ceremony could not cover their rejection of God's ways, right? Some of us, we're walking the walk, we're talking the talk, but our heart is not real. Our heart is not in it. We're just doing it because we're supposed to. We're going to church, we may be serving on a dream team, right? We're doing, quote, the work of ministry, right? But our heart is not real. We're trying just to check a box. Right? We're trying just to say we've done. Yeah, I've done this, right? But it didn't matter because their heart was not in it, right? Their heart was not real. There was not real heart change. We're coming to church and we're participating. We may be in connect groups, right? We're in connect groups, right? But then when it's time for me to share and to talk and to open up, you know, we're not saying anything. Right? And I understand, listen, when you're connected with some people, they have a hard time speaking in front of crowd. I'm not, okay, hear my heart, right? But there are people who do this as an act so they can say that they did when they're actually not doing anything. Their heart is not, there's no real heart change, right? And the word says, Jesus says, many will say in the day, "Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? In your name have I not done all this stuff? Lord, 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 I've served. Lord, I'm on a dream team. Lord, I'm connected. Lord, I'm doing outreach. Lord, 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 Lord." And he says, "And I will say to them in the day, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you." Right? Not, "I once knew you, you know, you were a child of mine, and then you left." No, "I never knew you." What's that say to me? That says true, real heart change never happened. The people of Judah, there was no change in their heart. They were performing religious ceremonies. They're probably going to the temple. They were doing the sacrifices that they were called to do, but real change had not happened. They weren't truly repentant. And my brothers and sisters, the result of this was that Jerusalem, Judah, was destroyed. The temple is going to be completely destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem were going to be destroyed because they refused to turn away from their wicked ways and turn to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, are you refusing to turn from your wicked ways and follow the Lord? That's a question for you to answer. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that because on Sunday morning, one day a week, you get into your Sunday best, right? And you go to church, you check that box off, you spend an hour and 15 minutes in within the house of God, and you go home and you think that that makes it okay, it is not okay. Because at some point, the Lord is coming back and he's going to take his people to be with him. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to show up at church on Sunday and the doors are going to be locked and they're going to be like, what's going on? Because their heart was never truly for God. Their heart was for themselves. Their heart was for their sin. Their heart was for their wickedness. Their heart was for living how they wanted to live, right? Their heart was for I'm not hurting anybody, right? You know, my sin doesn't affect anybody. That's where their heart is. And God is going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. That's not a place you want to be, right? You want to be that place, that person that God says, welcome, good and faithful servants. That's where we want to be, right? So turn from your wicked ways. Seek the Lord. Seek Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, seeking the Lord is the best decision you will ever make. The best decision you could ever do. Okay? A lot of us like to say, you know, oh, you know, finding my spouse and getting married was the best thing I could ever do. Yeah, that's a pretty good thing, right? But your spouse can't save you. Your spouse, your kids cannot save you from eternal damnation. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. So turn to him with everything that you are, right? And I promise you, it is a decision you will never, ever regret. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Jeremiah, Lord, that I can only imagine after 40 years of prophesying in your name and telling the people what's going to happen and trying to get them to turn away from the wickedness and turn to you. I can only imagine how disheartening it was, how tough it was. But Father, thank you for strengthening him. Thank you for giving him the strength that he needed to continue to move on so we could have his book in your word, Lord God. And we can see as an example, Father, that we just need to turn to you. Father, we praise you. Because you've always made a way. We praise you and we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die so that we can have an assurance of spending eternity with you. Father, we are so undeserving, but you do it anyway. We thank you for what you're doing. We praise your name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, love y'all. See you again next week. God bless.